Pastor John Randall on the importance of faith in our daily walk.
For many of us as Christians, that's where the struggle comes. We don't know how, we want to figure out how. And we don't even mind making suggestions to God on how He could do this and how He could be glorified in this. That's what we do. And then we struggle, and then we get frustrated with God, and He didn't do what I thought He was going to do, and I told Him to do it, and He told me He was going to do it. Yeah, He told you He was going to do it. He just didn't tell you how He was going to do it. It's not yours and mine to figure out how God's going to do it. It's ours to trust God that He's going to do it. And that is the difficulty for us, to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to walk by sight and call it walking by faith, but it's just not true.
A single mom is trying desperately to make ends meet while raising her children for Christ. A husband just says goodbye to his wife of 50 years and doesn't think he can make it another day. A family experiences a financial collapse and has to start over. These are just a few examples I could cite of people facing what looks to be the impossible. Today on A Daily Walk, we'll be encouraged by the truth that nothing is impossible with God. And with that in mind, we can and must trust Him in all things. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1, and let's join Pastor John Randall for this encouraging study.
When David was sitting in his palace, he had a desire to build God a temple. He didn't feel that it was right that he should be sitting in a palace and God should be living in a tent. And so he spoke to his friend Nathan the prophet, said, "Nathan, I got a little thing I want to talk to you about. I want to build God a house." And Nathan said, "David, do it. Do all that's in your heart." And then Nathan left the house of David, and the Lord spoke to Nathan. He said, "Nathan, you spoke too soon. David can't build me a house. His hands are full of blood. He's a man of war. But his son will build me a house. But you go back and you tell David these words. Tell David, I'm going to build him a house." And so Nathan goes back and he tells David, "David, you can't build a temple for the Lord, but the Lord tells you He's going to build you a house, and your house, your throne is going to last forever." And what that meant to David is that from his line would come the Messiah. He would be the Son of God, a son of Abraham, and a son of David. And when David heard that the Messiah of Israel was going to reign upon the throne forever and ever, the Bible tells us he sat down and he said to the Lord, "Who am I and what is my house that you brought me this far? I can't even believe, God, that you would do this. Here I'm asking to build you this and you told me I can't. And maybe I was a little disappointed, but you're going to do something that far exceeds anything that I could have ever come up with." And he just sat down humbled before God and asked the Lord to fulfill his word. And the truth is, guys, one day the Bible tells us that the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign forever. You wonder why there's so much turmoil in Jerusalem militarily, why there's all of this fighting and all of these swords that are clanging and all the words that are being spoken. Ultimately, you know why? Because from Jerusalem is where Jesus is going to have his throne. That's where he's going to rule and reign from. You talk about a holy city. He's going to sit upon the throne forever. And as wonderful as that news is, I got better news as it applies to you and me. The Bible tells us that we are going to reign with him forever and ever. What a promise, what a future. Not only is Jesus going to reign forever, we are going to reign with him. But as marvelous as this message was, I mean, for Mary, this is what every young Jewish girl would have loved to have heard, that you're going to give birth to the Messiah. They all would desire that opportunity, but Mary was privileged in that way. But Mary is uncertain. She's uncertain of how this is going to take place. She hasn't known a man. Her and Joseph are not, how is this going to happen? And so she asks for insight into the method whereby this will take place. And we find out in verse 34 that Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" Now understand this, Mary's response is very different from that of Zacharias in the beginning of the chapter. When Zacharias gets word that his wife is going to have a child, he doesn't believe it. He flat out denies it. "I don't think it can happen. It's impossible." And you remember what happened to him. He couldn't speak for the whole time of the pregnancy. But then when the angel speaks to Mary, she's not questioning God's ability. She's not questioning the reality of the word that has been stated. She's just raising this valid point of how can this happen if I've never known a man, if I'm only betrothed? How's it going to take place? Good question. In verse 35, she gets the answer. The angel answered and he said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." In other words, how will this impossibility come to pass? How will this child, Jesus, be formed in me? The angel responds and declares that this would be a work of the Holy Spirit. It is going to be a divine miracle. It is important this morning that you understand that the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is an essential, non-negotiable doctrine of the Christian faith. Anyone who denies the virgin birth of Jesus is not truly born again, because it is essential. It's a hill that we die on, the virgin birth of the Savior. In fact, this was prophesied back in Isaiah chapter 7, hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever occurred. Isaiah chapter 7, let me just set the scene for you. It was there that Uzziah's son, King Ahaz, was reigning. And Uzziah was being confronted by the enemies of Israel. The Syrian army was coming down, laying siege to the people, and he was fearful, and he didn't think he could win the battle, and so he was about to give up. And so the Lord sends Isaiah and his son to go down to Ahaz and to share with him that God was going to give him victory, that he didn't need to be afraid. And Isaiah said to Ahaz, "Why don't you ask God for a sign? Just to confirm this, if you don't believe it, ask God for a sign. In the heights or the depths, whatever you desire, ask God for a sign and he'll confirm it to you." And Ahaz responded to Isaiah by saying, "I'm not going to ask God for a sign. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it." In other words, he didn't believe. And so Isaiah then says to him, "Even though you didn't ask God for a sign, God's going to give you a sign anyway. And here it is." In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You didn't ask for a sign, Israel, but you're getting one anyway. A virgin is going to conceive, Emmanuel, God with us. That is who Jesus came to be, Emmanuel. God with us. He came, the Bible says in John's gospel, the first chapter, and he tabernacled among us. He was with us. The Bible says the prophecy concerning the virgin birth. But you know what, guys? You can go even farther back than the book of Isaiah to the very first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, make a note of it. We have something there that is referred to as the proto-evangelium. You say, that's marvelous. What is that? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and God was pronouncing the series of curses that were to come upon them as a result of their disobedience, death being passed on to them. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, here's what the Lord said. "And I will put," now speaking to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." And look at this, "between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Do you make note of that? His seed and whose seed? Her seed. Wait a second. The seed is carried by the man. What is this referring to? It's referring, friends, to the virgin birth. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God is giving us this evangelistic message from the very beginning. There's a Savior coming. There's a virgin birth that's going to take place. And this Savior is going to crush the head of Satan, although his heel will be bruised. All the way back in Genesis, a non-negotiable, essential doctrine of the Christian faith, the virgin birth. But this question, how's this going to happen? How's this going to take place? How is Jesus going to be formed in me? How is he going to be glorified in this situation? Again, it's not that I'm doubting your ability, Mary would say, but just how it's going to happen. And as I read Mary's question, I see myself in that. And maybe you do as well. It's not that you doubt God's ability to do it. You know God's all powerful. You know that God's totally and completely capable. But the question is, Lord, how are you going to do it? I believe you can. I know you're able, but I just don't know how. And for many of us as Christians, that's where the struggle comes. Because we don't know how, we want to figure out how. And we don't even mind making suggestions to God on how he could do this and how he could be glorified in this. That's what we do. And then we struggle and then we get frustrated with God and he didn't do what I thought he was going to do. And I told him to do it. And he told me he was going to do it. Yeah, he told you he was going to do it. He just didn't tell you how he was going to do it. It's not yours and mine to figure out how God's going to do it. It's ours to trust God that he's going to do it. And that is the difficulty for us, to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to walk by sight and call it walking by faith, but it's just not true. Well, in order that Mary might have more encouragement, it might be confirmed to her that the impossible was possible with God. Look at what the angel points to here as an example in verse 36. He shares with Mary of what the Lord had done for her cousin. Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Mary, you're wondering how it could happen for you, this impossibility. Did you hear the news? Your cousin Elizabeth, you know, the one that's been barren her whole life, past the age of childbearing, she's gonna have a son. She's 6 months pregnant in the second trimester, going into the third. Impossible? Yes, but not for God. And here, there is an example that Mary is given. She is pointed to an example in the life of somebody else. Look what God's done. If God could do it for her, Mary, God could do it for you. And for us, we look around and we see God working either in the scriptures in the lives of his people or in the lives of his people corporately in the body. And we watch how God works. And listen, guys, he works in their life. He can work in your and my life too. The method may be different. The circumstances may be different, but he's the same God. And as I look at God working in your life, I think, Lord, you did it for them. Can you do it for me? Yes, he can. And it is evidence that God can do it. For some of you today, you're saying, how's my son going to come back to Christ? He's strung out. He's running from God. He grew up in the church. How's it going to happen, Lord? Well, look around you and see how God's done it for other people. Don't you know God can do it for your son too? He absolutely can. Paul the apostle looked at his own life and he said to everybody who watched him in the epistles that he wrote and the churches that he planted, he said, God has used me as an example that if God could do it for me, God could do it for anybody. And many times I feel like that in my own life as well. If God could do it for John Randall, he certainly could do it for anybody else, because that's the God that we serve. He's a faithful God. He may work differently in your life, but he's the same God. But something else that confirmed, or at least should confirm for Mary, that the impossible is possible with God is God's word. Look at what it says. I encourage you to highlight, underline, memorize this verse right here in verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. If you're not encouraged by that, check your pulse. This is amazing. With God, nothing will be impossible. And in the Greek, nothing, it means nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing's impossible for him. When you consider your difficulties, your impossibilities, you have to always measure them by the capacity of the agent that is doing the work. And if God is the agent that is doing the work, any talk of difficulty is manifestly absurd. Impossible is not in God's dictionary. It's not even something that even says, ever. Nothing is impossible with God. You remember Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, he said, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. I wonder if today you are facing an impossible situation and it's too hard for you. Many things are too hard for us, but you need to factor God into the equation this morning. You need to remember the Lord. You need to remember who it is you're praying to. You need to recall that this is a God that is not limited in any way. A God that loves you. A God that took care of your greatest need, your salvation. Don't you know that he can handle this? Nothing is impossible with God. And then in verse 38, we find that Mary, having received this message, she does something very important here, and that is she submits to the will of God for her life. For notice what it says in verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, the reason why this is so important to highlight is because you have to consider what some of the potential harmful scenarios would be for Mary at this point. The risk of disgrace, the possibility of divorce. Joseph found out that she was pregnant, and the Bible tells us that he was prepared to put her away silently, to divorce her so that nobody would know about it. And then Gabriel came and confirmed to her, listen, Joseph, what Mary told you, it's all true. and you need to go forward in this relationship. And obediently, Joseph, being a man of God, he did just that. But listen, this has never happened in the history of the world. So think about Mary for a second, ladies. Gentlemen, listen. She comes to her mom and dad. She comes to her fiance, who she's as good as married to, and says, I got some news for you guys. I'm going to have a baby. But it's not what you think. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, how would you respond? What would you think? You'd say, who's the man? Where is he? That's it. Joseph's heart is broken. The family's questioning. The whole town knows about it. And Mary grew up, guys, because she submitted to this will of God for her life. She grew up under this shadow, this question mark about this birth of this son. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because when you look at the ministry of Jesus in John chapter 8, when Jesus is confronted by the religious leaders, going back and forth with them as he often did, here's what they said to him. Their confrontation got downright ugly when they said these words. They said to Jesus, we were not born of fornication. What is that saying? It's suggesting that your virgin birth, son of the Most Highest, you're an illegitimate son. That's what they said to Jesus. And that's what Mary lived with as a result of submitting to the will of God for her life. Listen, that should tell you something. The will of God is not always easy. It's not some walk in the park. It's not always going to be popular. It's not everybody's going to applaud and say, oh, I agree with that, or I understand that. They won't necessarily understand that. And Mary lived with that. Now, by the way, Jesus responded to the Pharisees and he said, that's right, you're of your father, the devil. But anyhow, it's a good comeback. But nonetheless, with all of these potential reactions from society and the possibility of being publicly humiliated, and even according to the law, she could be taken outside the city and stoned, executed as a result of submitting to the will of God. We see her devout and obedient character, willing to risk all to comply with God's purpose for her life. And what about us this morning? Is that our heart concerning the will of God? Lord, whatever that means, whatever, however this is going to look, whatever you want to do, I submit to it. And I realize in advance, not everybody's going to understand. Not everybody's going to agree. There may be a shadow that's cast over me as a result of just doing the will of God. It comes with the territory. And Mary knew this, and she was willing to submit to it. Are we willing? Are we willing to follow him in this way? Finally, Mary then has this meeting with Elizabeth. We see in verse 39, now Mary arose in those days, and it says she went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zacharias, and she greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary, excited about Elizabeth's pregnancy probably, and thinking about her own pregnancy, makes her way up to her cousin's home. You know how it is when pregnant ladies get together. Talking about baby names. Nope, Lord already told me it's John. Nope, yep, I already had my name. It's Jesus. Colors of the room, ice chips, back labor, whatever. All these things, talking about these things together. Sorry, we're all apart. We were there. We didn't. You. It's all you, ladies. We applaud you in every way. But there they are, discussing these things. And when she comes in and greets Elizabeth, it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing. And as she's filled with the Holy Spirit, she begins to speak words of the Spirit to Mary. And I want you to note something here. They are almost, at least the first portion, is the same thing that Gabriel said. He said, you're blessed among women. And as the Spirit of God comes upon Elizabeth, she speaks the word of God, and it confirms what Mary had heard earlier. I point this out to you to say that when God is doing a work in your life and when God's will is being revealed, God will speak something to you in private. Not necessarily that anybody else knows about. And maybe you've had this experience. He speaks a verse to you. He speaks a word to you. And then over time, he confirms that word. Sometimes he'll confirm it through other people. People that don't even know what you're going through or what you've heard from the Lord or what you underlined in your Bible or what you wrote down in your journal. And they will say the exact same thing that God spoke to you. And it's one of those aha moments like, wow, Lord, how did they know? The Spirit of God works in mysterious ways. We don't always understand it. Even Jesus said, you know, you can see the wind blowing back and forth, but and you can see the effect of it. It's the same with the work of the Spirit. I can see the effect of it, but I don't always fully understand it. But I love it when God's working in that way. Maybe you're driving in your car and you're praying and asking God to speak to you. You turn on the radio and suddenly you hear a sermon that is like somebody's in the car with you speaking directly to you. How did you know? You just happened to turn it on and there it was, a word for you. Or you go to a church service like this and prayerfully God's speaking to you now. That's my prayer. That God is confirming things to you. And I don't know what's going on in your life. And I don't know what your situation is. And prayerfully, the gift of prophecy is an operation. The gift of prophecy just simply meaning speaking forth the word of God. Just speaking the word of God and it's bearing witness with your spirit. And the Holy Spirit is confirming things to you this very morning. That's how God works. He shows us that, yes, indeed, this is me. Yes, I am working in your life. Yes, I haven't forgot about you. I know I spoke that verse to you 3 months ago. Well, here it is again. I want you to hold on to it. And Mary receives this word, and Elizabeth then says these words that I think are very important in verse 45. She said, blessed is she, notice this, who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things that were told to her from the Lord. Mary doesn't even say anything. Elizabeth just says to her, she knows you're carrying my Lord, okay? And not only that, but the words that were spoken to you by the Lord, they're going to be fulfilled. And what you need to do is believe it. You need to believe it. You need to believe that nothing is impossible with God. You need to trust that what God spoke to you, it will come to pass in his own good time. And Mary did just that. She believed. And the next time we open up this passage of scripture, Lord willing, we will see Mary begin to lift up her heart of praise and worship for the great things that God had promised to do in and through her life. And that, by the way, is always the response, or should be. When God is working by his Spirit in our lives, the response should be, guys, worship and praise to him for who he is and what he's done.
Today on A Daily Walk, we've listened into a portion of a study from Pastor John Randall. If you joined us late today, go online to adailywalk.org and catch what you missed. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way for a cost of $5, call us at 877-242-0828 or order resources online through our e-store. That's at adailywalk.org. You can also listen through our app that can be found in the App Store or Google Play by searching for Calvary South OC. Look for our podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Christy Menasche, author of Precious and Pleasant Riches. I'm also a mother of 4 children who I've been homeschooling for the past 12 years. Homeschooling is not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. Not everyone is called to teach their children at home, but those of us who are need support and encouragement. I've written this book with the hopes of encouraging the many moms who are called to this ministry in the home. These short devotionals and prayers were designed with you in mind. And right now, my friends at A Daily Walk are offering Precious and Pleasant Riches. To order a copy, just call 877-242-0828 or go online to adailywalk.org. I hope this resource blesses you as you continue to raise your kids for Christ.
Again, that's Precious and Pleasant Riches for the cost of just $10 at adailywalk.org. You can also call 877-242-0828. Your gifts help us to bring Pastor John's teachings to the radio and the internet, and for that we are truly grateful. Thank you in advance for whatever God leads you to do. Donations can be made online at adailywalk.org. Pastor John is back with us now.
So this morning, what has God spoken to you? What has God spoken to you in the quietness of your own heart, in your own times with Him? Do you believe that He will do it? Or are you trying to figure out how He's going to do it? Let me tell you, that's a difficult thing. I've done that way too many times in my life. I realize that things are out of my control. I have to trust God. And if I will trust God, I'll receive the blessing of watching God work and bringing it to pass. So may the Lord do that in our lives as a fellowship, but also individually as we make up the body of Christ.
Tomorrow on A Daily Walk, we'll get a picture of pure worship as our study in Luke continues with Pastor John Randall. A Daily Walk with John Randall is presented by Calvary South OC.